Welcome back to the 27 and to the Boltcast, your AMS2 YouTube podcast. Visiting us today is someone who, if you've ever driven against the AI, their name will be quite familiar to you already, especially if he's driven you off the track before. That's Todd Nurbury. And no, I'm not interviewing a computer. Todd is an actual real-life person and one of the members of Ryza Studios' development staff, and he has generously offered some of his time to be with us today and allow me to pick his brain a little bit. Todd, welcome to the Boltcast, and thanks for stopping by.
G'day, Tom. Thanks for having me. And my alter ego, the AI guy, I apologize for him in advance.
You owe literally 1,000 people apologies. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from, Todd? You sound like you're from Australia. What's your role with Ryza?
Yeah, I'm an Aussie. I live on the south coast of New South Wales, right by the beach, so it's a pretty nice place to live. And my role at Ryza is developing or putting the track cameras together. So whenever you guys watch replays, most of the cameras that you're looking through have been placed by me.
Wow, that's really cool. Now, we've known each other for a little bit, right? So you joined my Discord. I had no idea who you were. You were just Norbs in my Discord. And then you were, I don't know, my first impression of you is that you were rather shy. But, you know, I'm sure you just don't go around saying, hey, I'm on the development staff everywhere you go. So that kind of makes sense now. But the more I got to know you better, the more little bits and pieces starting to come in together. And I was like, oh my God, you really work for Ryza. So let's talk about your origin story. Now, obviously, you don't come out of the womb and then you work for Ryza. How did your journey lead you to where you're at right now? I'm interested in learning, like, what was your first sim experience? And obviously, this is a hobby of yours, right? So how did that come to fruition? How did point A get to point B?
It's a long road, I can tell you. I started out playing Sims in the late 80s, I think it is. So probably giving a bit of my age away. But started out on a Commodore 128D with things like Grand Prix Circuit, Revs and Speed Buggy. Worked my way through to what were called IBM clones at the time.
Now, were you driving these on joysticks?
Yeah, joysticks. I on the Commodore. I had it's a weird looking joystick. It was called a Konix, I think it is. Konix.
I remember those days, dude. I drove pole position with a joystick.
Yeah, it's a weird little thing. It sort of sat in your left hand, and I had a left-handed mate who hated it because he couldn't operate the stick properly with his right hand. So that was always fun. But that was 80s, 90s, onto the IBM clone, and it really kicked off with Grand Prix Legends. A real sim, a real hardcore game that you just couldn't pick up and be fast at. Yeah, went GPL for a long time. Basically started off with an Aussie racing group I'm involved with.
You started a group way back then?
Yeah. We've got a group of Aussies, the Aussie Racing Simulation Enthusiast, and the acronym is ARS. And we have been going since technically 2002, but we started a little bit earlier than that.
Wow. That's a long time.
And there's a few of us who still race together.
That's amazing. So now you're driving on...
A bunch of cranky old men, basically.
But now you all have, instead of little joysticks, you have DD1s.
some of us do, yeah. Yep. It's a pretty broad range of gear. You know, there's guys with full cockpits.
Right.
And VR and DD1, as you say.
Yeah, you guys are talking about motion rigs now. Yesterday, there was a lot of talks about motion rigs.
Motion rigs and level. Butt kickers. And,
yeah. So, what got you into AMS2? I mean, did you know of Ryza before? Before you played the game? Did you play the game first? You know, how did that connection happen?
Yeah, so I've known about Riser through Automobilista, the first game.
Okay.
Not obviously not Riser's first game, but that was the first game of theirs that I had come across. And yeah, I fell in love with it purely because it was something different. It wasn't just GT3s like Monza. It was Cascavel and things like that.
Right.
And I just loved that sort of oddball content. And the game itself was great. So that was sort of how I come to know about Riser. And then when they talked about the announcement that AMS2 was coming on the Madness engine, which as we all know, caused quite a bit of discussion on the
Yeah,
internet.
it
And it was actually one of the sort of announcement videos, I suppose, that Renato posted up, I expect, on the Riser forums. And he put in one of the comments, please sort of disregard the replay cameras, we're working on it. Now, I'd had many years of experience in doing trackside cameras, replay cameras in Assetto Corsa, and work with some of the really good track guides, Lilski and Fat Alfie, a whole bunch of guys. And
Okay, so you had a background in it from other Sims. Now, were you part of the development team for Assetto Corsa 2, or was this the mod team or something?
no, just because AC was an open, a moddable,
Okay, so it was mods. Okay.
and you could basically grab the developer's kit and do a whole bunch of stuff. And I'd actually done cameras in Grand Prix Legends, but very basic ones a long time ago. And I saw it in AC and thought, I can do that. And for whatever reason, sort of got okay at it and worked with a couple of the good track guys. So when I saw Renato sort of say, disregard the cameras, we're working on it, I thought I'd offer some help,
Wow.
which is, I don't know, call it arrogance or.
No, that's opportunity. That's if he had decided not to write that sentence, it might not have you might not have been prompted to reach out to him.
No, it was a, just a, and originally it was just, oh, if you need a hand, I might be able to help. I don't know. I don't know what the developer's kit like. I don't
Yeah,
know.
they had
So
somebody else already.
yeah, I had no idea. That's what I mean. Arrogance on my behalf, I don't know. But I just sent him a private message on the Riser forums, and he got back to me and said, here's my Skype, let's talk. I thought, oh, okay.
Wow.
That was, I didn't think he'd be so keen. I thought he'd just, don't worry, we've got it in hand. And yeah, we talked on Skype, and I don't have a great memory, but I want to say it was within probably 48 hours that we'd come to terms and I was part of the
That's crazy unique story. No job
team.
application, no resume, no HR.
No, I did send him, like when he said on, let's talk on Skype, I basically replied and said, here's some of the guys that I've worked with,
You had some references?
Well, not so much references, but at least he could go and have a look at replays. And
Okay. So you had sort of like what do they call that? Like a not a
portfolio
prospect, a
of work.
portfolio, exactly. I was thinking that's the exact
Yeah.
word I was thinking of. Okay. So I mean
And then
obviously.
stupidly, yeah, I'd got lazy at one point because I had a lot of, as there's a lot of tracks in Assetto Corsa, and I had a lot of people ask me to do cameras, and I don't know, I just got tired of it. So I put together a YouTube video of how to do it,
Right.
which is 15 minutes of me rambling on, just making one incoherent sentence after the next. And so I sent him a link to that as well and said, this is what I can do and how I explain it. And yeah, I don't know,
Wow.
despite that video, he
That's
offered me a job.
actually really cool. You had a video describing what you do. That's next level job. That's next level job applications.
No, that was me being a lazy man and wanting other people to learn how to do it so they didn't ask me.
Who knew that it was going to help you find a next your next opportunity, I guess.
Yeah, and it certainly wasn't done for that reason, I can tell you.
So you're in Australia. What's the commute like to Lundrina?
Well, and that's not just me with the one of the good things about the Riza is that there's guys scattered all over the globe, and not only are they just a terrific bunch of guys to work with, they're a terrific bunch of guys to know. We talk about all sorts of things, and I've learned a lot about different cultures and places just by working for them. So it's yeah, it's been a really good opportunity, and I'm lucky to have it.
Yeah. So let's it's a small company, right? And I wanted to point that out because if you're in touch with all of them, you know pretty much everybody at this company. You've probably bumped into elbows with everybody on the in the meetings and all that. It's not like some huge corporate conglomerate. So
No, certainly not.
what's the structure there like? I mean, there are different teams apparently, like obviously there's different teams working on different things. What's the hierarchy look like over there? We know Renato's at the top. I think some of the other guys, all the other AI names, they apparently have jobs over there. So, tell us a little bit about who does what and how that works.
Yeah, well, as you said, Renato's the project manager, the ringleader.
And the fastest guy, the fastest programmed AI as well, right? Of course.
Yeah, possibly that as well. And generally quick in real life, apparently. But yeah, Renato's at the top, and then I'm not right across how it all works. I know there's a track team, there's a car team. There's some coders, there's UI guys. Yeah, I can't give it a whole structure and layout, and possibly Renato wouldn't want me to, but it is a small team. It's just a team of super passionate guys. I'm not full time. I do have a day job, so to speak.
Right.
So I mainly work weekends, as you know, Saturdays and Sundays, and most of the time there's someone there to ask questions of, or query or show things to, bounce ideas off. It's these guys work really hard, and that's been one of the things that's impressed me. You and I have talked before privately about where I think my position in the team is. It is a small part of the job. Thanks to you, I understand it's an important part, but the other guys, the stuff that they do, the stuff that I see behind the scenes is very impressive.
That's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on is because everyone does, a small role. And you may think it's a small role, but in the grand scheme of things, all together, you guys are putting out something that's fantastic that people really, really enjoy. So, and I think one of the things that I learned from you was the detail that goes into a lot of the components, like a curb, like how much trouble and debate goes into how high a curb is, right?
Yeah, it sort of caught me off guard. That's probably a wrong term, but it surprised me, I suppose, just how much detail they go into, and colors and curb heights and fence heights and stuff like that. It's a lot of care is taken to try and get that stuff right. And when you're racing around, most people aren't going to care if a curb's 1 centimeter too high or too low. I wouldn't even know how to tell. Usually, when I'm hitting a curb, I'm flying into a fence. So, but that's the sort of level of detail they go to. It's the same with the track guys. Sorry, the car guys. They're passionate. They're really passionate, and their knowledge of motorsport and cars and tracks is way beyond
I
mine.
was recently doing research about the Porsche RSR. Obviously, it's one of the upcoming featured cars, and I discovered that there was three different varieties of 1974 Porsche RSR, believe it or not. So when I was looking at all the photos, I started to get familiar with the first time I ever looked at, I had didn't know the car exists. I don't have that rich of a sim racing background or an automobile automobile racing history background. So it was literally the first time I'm looking at the cars and I'm just, okay, this is pretty cool. And then I'm cross-referencing it with the car that's, on the in the development update, and it's uncanny. It's just it's a really great representation of what that vehicle is. But I was really impressed with how accurate the car was compared to real life photographs. So that was really impressive. So you said that you work on track cameras. Now, you keep saying to this to me over and over again how it's not interesting stuff, but every time you talk about it, I have my ears up and I think it's fascinating. So describe exactly like what do you do? What is it that you sit down when you start your Saturday? Like what do you do?
Okay, so basically, I've got a job, a task to do, and let's say it's Nürburgring. Most of the time, Renato's brief is to try and get it as close to the TV coverage cameras as I can, which is, as far as camera placement, is not too difficult. You can sort of triangulate and use. Just use a bit of common sense to line the cameras up. What the most difficult thing is, and it was for Assetto Corsa, and it's the same with the Madness engine. People probably aren't aware just the zoom capabilities of TV cameras is just amazing, and it's hard to transfer that into game.
Okay.
So yeah, I've basically trying. I've got to try and work around that and give you guys the end user the experience that's as close as I can make it to watching the race on a TV. Sometimes that's attainable, sometimes it's not. But that basically it. So I have to place cameras. I've got to place trigger points for to have that camera come in.
So when he said you said that he gives you a video of a real life
Yeah, pretty
race.
much. He'll most of the times find the most recent YouTube video of a particular race. Sometimes I do it, but most of the
Okay.
time he's got an idea of what he wants. And yeah, I've got to try and
So
replicate
don't
that.
they change like they don't they switch to other cars on other parts of the track? That's got to be frustrating. You
Yeah.
want to get,
Look,
turn four. And then right when they get to turn three, they're switching to some other car at turn 10. And you're just like, what? No, I want turn four.
Yeah, it cost me a mouse about 6 months ago because I was that cranky at there was a particular camera and I can't remember what track it was, but I couldn't get the full view of the camera sweeping past, so I couldn't line it up properly. And I watched like an hour's replay on YouTube and every time it did the same thing. And in the end, it wasn't a fit of rage, but I basically sort of got to that point where I just flicked my mouse over my shoulder. And sort of gave up and had a small tantrum and walked out. And yeah, so
Wow.
qualifying, if you can get a qualifying lap, that's usually pretty good because they more than often just concentrate on one car.
But I know for sure if you ever had to do a track, that's F1. They just put the car on, Lewis Hamilton, and they just follow him around the track the whole race. So you'll get
Yeah.
every camera shot in succession. They never switch to any of the other cars, unless it's Max Verstappen or whatever, and he's like 13 seconds to get 13 seconds behind with fresh tires. Then they might switch back and forth. But anyway, so give me. So you're setting up the cameras on a specific corner that's lined with what the TV, what you see on TV. And then you mentioned how you have to program when it triggers to other cameras, right? So you have like little
So
zones.
basically, Yeah, so basically there's zones all around a track, bounding boxes, triggers, whatever we want to call them. And that box is then linked to a camera, and that camera will focus on the car while over the car is in that box.
Okay.
And that's, as easy as that sounds, that can be quite a challenge because one of the things that, unless you're in this and doing it, you don't think of is, well, speeds of different cars. A Formula One car going down the straight at Nürburgring compared to a Copa Uno or
Ah,
something like that
yeah.
is very different. So
So if you
what
have,
feels good for a Formula One car
if you have
and
a
you see
long
it zoom
shot,
past,
if you have a long
yeah,
shot,
that's right.
you just see a Copa Uno coming at you for like a minute.
Yeah, that's right. And it feels like, someone's walking towards you with a lawnmower, whereas the Formula One car is sort of gone past,
Yeah.
and the camera swung around so quickly. So
Oh,
there's
the
always
camera
that.
swing, right. So if they're going by too fast, then you can actually get make people dizzy if they went by too
Well, it's
fast.
not so much dizzy, it just doesn't look great on, and you'll see it sometimes, in real Formula One races. The shot, Spa, I'm trying to think of, just that there's a camera down the bottom before they head back up into Eau Rouge, which swings around really quickly every now and
Okay.
then, and it just doesn't make for a pleasant experience on the television. So I try and keep away from that. So in that instance, you don't want cameras super, super close to the fence because when a Formula One car does go past it, it just doesn't look realistic. And you know that a cameraman wouldn't be able to pan
Oh,
at the same speed as a Formula One
right,
car.
of course.
So you've got to move cameras to compromise.
I think there's one camera like that on Bathurst at the bottom of the mountain straight. That's right next to
Yeah,
the
could be.
track side. But I actually like it. I think it just gives you that sense of speed there, and you kind of. I was talking about this with the Nemesis the other day. It was like you look at the track camera, and I had you in mind when I was talking about that. You look at the track.
Right,
If you
yep.
go past it with like speed, you really get the kind of the sense that you don't get when you're sitting in the seat. And when you're watching the
Yeah,
replay, you're like,
I
"Oh,
know.
wow, look at how fast I was going!" Whoopity doo. It's like,
You can sort of work around that too with zoom, like you can widen the shot a little bit so it doesn't feel like you're looking into the driver's eyeball. You've sort of got a wider view so you've got a less of a sense of speed. But I suppose what I'm trying to say is there's a compromise.
right.
There's a compromise to virtually every camera you place, the zoom levels, and yeah, it's you would think it's as easy as just putting cameras on a track and say turn on there and there, but when you've got a game like AMS2, which has got, cars from, I hate to pick on the Uno, and I know someone's going to hate me for it, but the Uno all the way up to the Formula Ultimate, you've got to take those things into consideration.
Right. There's another shot. It's one of the ones that I love the most is that's the one in the tunnel at Monaco, where it has that
Yeah.
transition from the inbound and then the outbound. And the thing that really I love was the how the camera shakes when the cars go by. Was
Yep.
that you?
Monaco, yeah, I think so. I did that. It was one of the first tracks I did, so
That's the
I would have
coolest.
had something to do with it, but I don't know that I'm fully responsible for that one.
I mean, what about the shake? Like that might be something that.
Yeah, the shake is certainly something you can program into it, and it goes back to I suppose a bit of an odd anecdote. When I first got on board with Renato, and we were chatting about it, and I was talking about the AC cameras, basically saying, yeah, there's like maybe six parameters that you can change. There may be a few more, but you don't really use them. And Renato, we were typing, we weren't chatting, we were typing. He said, oh, I think there's more with the, with the Madness engine. And when I got set up with the SDK and got it all running and first looked at the track cameras, there's like 160 options or something ridiculously,
Oh my God.
so much more complex than what I was used to.
Okay.
And I sat there just paralyzed. You know, where do I start? I don't even know what to do. And yeah, it's super complicated compared to a Seto Corsa. But
what, Renato? Why do we have a camera that spins like upside down?
I haven't. You know, I've probably used 10% of the capability of the sim so far. There's so many more things that can be done, but there a lot of it is possibly not needed. That's probably too strong of a word, but it's sort of the sort of things that you're not going to use a lot. They'd be, you know, fancy little things like the camera shake.
Right.
You know, I could make every camera shake if you wanted it to, but that would drive people nuts.
I think it's perfect in that situation. It just makes me feel like the camera's just like someone stuck a camera in there that's static, and it vibrates on its mount. You know, that's just such a cool – it's just a cool effect. Another camera view, could you do this one? It's like the – you know how in F1 they have the track camera that it's embedded in the curb?
Yeah.
If you can
as
do
much
that.
As I'd like to, it's another one of those things, Tom, where a real life camera has capabilities that a sim camera doesn't.
Right.
So I can sort of do it, but it doesn't give the same effect.
I see.
Yeah, I can't remember if we kept it or not, but I'm going to say again the run down the hill into Air Rouge, I thought that there was a camera embedded in the curb there, but I might have pulled that out at the last minute.
Sure.
I can't recall.
I wouldn't feel too bad about it. Like, if I was watching myself, I'm not hitting apexes anyway, so it's not like I'd be even taking advantage of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, it would be cool, but it's just one of those things that unless it sort of adds to the experience, I don't tend to include it, and when you've really got to fudge as hard to get it to work, it's just not worth the time.
Right. So what about another one I think I've noticed is sometimes the cameras don't match up with where the camera booth guys are or the cranes. I've tried to finish a video and like drive up to a camera booth thinking, you know, that makes sense where the camera would be. And I'm like thinking I'm real cool doing like a burnout or whatever. And then when I go back and watch the video, I'm like on the other side of the back straight, like, and I'm doing a burnout by myself. And you don't hear any audio. It's just like this dead silence and just some knucklehead like 5,000 yards away.
Yeah.
Are they linked or no? I don't think they are.
No, they're not linked. And it's one of the things that I've sort of asked for, I'd like, but again, it's, you know, is it worth the time?
Right.
It means the track artists have got to move things around to suit me. And,
well, he's probably working on, you know, the next track pack or whatever. So he's got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
To do.
We are a small company. It's time's money. And yeah, as much as I think it'd be cool to have guys up in cranes and stuff like that, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
So, and that's fine. You know, it's we try and get the cameras to look like a TV broadcast, and you know, I do my best, but sometimes we can't make it perfect. So,
so you describe some of your, you know, those challenges, but are there any other challenges to what you do that you find that are particularly troublesome? You know, maybe not mouse throwing challenges, but maybe. How about, are there any keyboard smashing challenges that you have?
Not really. You know, any of my mates listening are going to laugh their heads off. I think I'm a reasonably calm person in normal life, but you know, there are wrinkles in any sort of software, you know, developing kit, and every now and then the developer's kit will bug out on me or won't save something, but I'm old enough and, you know, grumpy enough to know that that happens with everything.
Yeah,
so
Microsoft Word.
There's not really any. Yeah, that's right. Word, Excel. If you really want to fire me up, let's talk about Excel.
What about successes? Like, do you have any recent things that you discovered that, like, changed something for the better? Like, anything off your memory, like a particular track you were working on, you found a real big problem?
Look, every now and then I will sort of learn a new way of doing something that I didn't know about, which is exciting. There's not a lot. You know, it was a really steep learning curve when I started. Mm-hmm. Like I you know, you've got all of these options, and you know, a representation of the track in front of you, and you're told to go. So originally it was a really steep learning curve. We're very lucky that we have some of the guys from SMS, Matt York. He guided me through the first few months. But since then, there hasn't been a lot. Mm-hmm. And because there's so much work, you're sort of grinding it away. And, you know, every now and then I'll discover something that's cool that I'll run by Renato. And, you know, it's basically comes down to his decision if it's going to stay or not.
Okay.
I think the only one that I've sort of really punched the air about was, I hate to bang on about Spa, but there's a camera that sits at the top of Air Rouge, and I know that the motorsport enthusiasts are going to absolutely flog me because I'm probably not calling it the right name.
Radeon. I got dinged for that a couple of weeks ago.
Right. Okay. Well, I've got a camera that's basically static, waiting for the car to come up over the rise.
Yep.
And then it sort of, you know, tracks the car as it goes past. Uh-huh. And that took me a little while to crack. I was obviously just doing something wrong. But when I got it to work, it was, one of those moments where I thought, oh, awesome. So, yeah, and it's not... It takes a little bit of time because I do my changes, I save the file, and I've got to build the track.
Right.
So building the track can sometimes take a little bit of time. You go in, you run the replay. Oh, that didn't work. Back to the SDK, change something, build the track, go in. Oh, goddamn, still didn't work. And so that one was one of those ones where... In the TV broadcast, that's exactly what happens. There's that camera that sits there waiting for the car to appear. And, when I got it to replicate that, it was it was a big moment for me. People look at it and probably just think, yeah, so what?
So but at some point, like,
for me,
there's going to be a transition when you learn all, like, say, most of the tricks, and then you have all of the tools that you've discovered, and you can, you know, not only work faster, but, you know, would you at some point think maybe to consider yourself like an artist?
No, I don't consider myself, you know, I'm a technical person by nature. I've dabbled in photography, so I've got a little bit of a photographer's eye, which possibly helps every now and then, but, you know, I can't call myself artist when you see what the other guys are putting together. It's pretty... it's pretty spectacular what the, and that's not just for Reza, you know, that's across the board. You look at what the sim community can put out and the quality of work, and it's pretty, I still sort of sit there and think it's pretty amazing. You know, I've been playing around with computers for 40 years. So
right.
I've seen a fairly, substantial change. And it still blows me away. You know, I still sit down every now and then and go and do a race, especially VR. You know, you think of the technology behind mm-hmm. that. And just, cars fly over your head when you have an accident and you duck and stuff like that. You know, I'm there. I'm in the car. We're pretty lucky. It's a pretty, in my opinion, it's a golden age for sims.
Yeah, I've actually kind of gotten used to getting upside down in VR. The first few times, it was really kind of like... It made you kind of sick, but now it's like, wrong. Now I do it on purpose. Sometimes if I get a corner wrong, there was one part where I think I was driving through, there's like some of the historical tracks have like a fencing, like a catch fencing.
Oh, yeah.
And it literally it was like my body told me I was going to get decapitated. And, I thought that was funny too, but, I wanted to talk about a little bit of a tougher subject, and that is, Ryza gets a lot of heat. You know about it. I know about it. YouTube videos here and there. This is a small team, just like you said. underdog team, which I like. But, you know, when you see stuff like that, like, how do you feel? Like, does that bother you?
I suppose it comes down to what time of day or how much sleep I got. You know, I've been guilty of it myself, you know, in years gone by. So it's hard for me to yell and scream now that I'm, you know, part of the team. I understand it, but, you know, once you get a bit of a look behind the curtain, it just gives you an appreciation, you know, but it's a difficult one. I can't speak on behalf of anyone else. You know, I'm one of the older guys in the team, possibly one of the crankier guys. You know, there's a lot of very clever, very patient people in the developers team. But to me, it comes down to expectations. You know, there's a certain level you'd expect from a game, and if that's not meeting some people's expectations, there's not a lot you can do. You know, I think the team on the whole are pretty quick to react when there's bugs reported. You know, the internet's the internet, Tom. There's going to be people that said that I reported that green ripple strip 18 months ago and it's still the same color green.
Right.
You're never going to stop that. You know, if you fix that, they'll find, you know, a blade of grass that's not in the right spot. So,
I get you, what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not often as directed at me because, you know, most people don't realize that I do track cameras. As you said earlier, I tend not to tell too many people because I don't need the grief.
Right.
But yeah, it's not often, you know, we get bugs on the forum that the track guys will sort of point out to me or I'll see myself. I'll go and address those. You know, you and I chatted earlier today and you squashed a bug for me. So
yes.
it's just one of those things, you know, criticism's part of life.
Yeah, that track's going to be my favorite track now from now on. Like, that's my corner.
Yeah.
That's my corner.
Yep. Yeah, so I don't get sort of too bent out of shape about it. If someone's being unreasonable, I'm more than happy to share an opinion with them. But I tend to not worry too much about it because you can't please everyone all the time.
Right. Well, let's change gears. Other side of the coin, you know, success stories. You know, I'm sure you guys all together enjoy it when things go right, you know, and I think Racing USA was just a fantastic turn of the page for this sim. How do you guys enjoy it? Like, do you have a chance to catch your breath and just say, this is great, you know, we've done something great here? Has that ever happened there? And like, if you did, what do? You guys are all over the world.
It's Yeah, we're all over the world. It's not like we can get together and go and have a beer and celebrate.
Right.
They're not really a group of guys known for resting on their laurels. They, you know, I think overall everyone in the group was pretty happy. You know, it's always chancy to speak for the group.
A little more energy.
Yeah, it's just nice to, you know, feel like you've had a win. As you said, there's been some pretty critical opinions voiced all over the place about AMS2. It's my view that some of those people you're never going to make happy because they've just decided that it's not going to be a good game. So, but you know, the overall reception seemed to be positive, and you know, for me, it makes me happy for the guys. You know, the guys at work, God knows how many hours a week, you know, making the stuff and producing what I think is good quality, you know, game and simulation. I'm happy for them. I see how hard they work, and it just makes me happy that, you know, finally they get some positive comments.
That's, yeah, and I'll give you a positive comment. When I first got into, and I drove the Corvette. It was my first Racing USA car. First track was Laguna. I knew it was awesome after turn one at Laguna. I was just like, this car is amazing. The sounds are amazing. Much richer, much deeper than I was used to. Obviously, some of the cars like the BMW and the M6 when that came out, that was an impressive. And then, you know, some of the other cars still need some, you know, polish with their audio and things like that. But as far as an experience is concerned, when you match your expectation for a car, your expectation for a track, how you would hope that it would feel, the sound, the visual, all of that, that came together in less than 30 seconds for me. And I was like, okay, wow. Again, it was just like another wow moment for me. And I've had several of those in this game. Now, this is going to be a tough question. Anything you can add about, you know, the future? We know this is a 2-year development cycle, probably longer than that. You can be as general as you wish, or is it just, you know, business as usual going forward?
I would lose my job if I said too much. I know Renato wouldn't be happy, but I'm pretty confident saying there's a lot of really good content coming. I don't know about it all, but I'm confident to say that people won't be disappointed with what's ahead.
Well, that's fantastic. It's good to hear. I think everyone is, like, all the people in my circles were in it. I'm in it. You know, I'm invested in it. I'm excited about everything that's coming down the line. For sure, the race in USA, you know, obviously I'm from the US. So that one is, it's like, it's almost, the Corvette was made for me. That's what it felt like. So I'm looking forward to more. Yep. I watched, you know, Nigel Mansell, Mario Andretti, you know, and if kart is an actual thing, and I'm not going to ask you to make any noises. But if that's a thing, I mean, even if it isn't, you know, this era in the U.S. racing is being represented is something that I'm particularly intrigued by, and oval racing as well. So, but I wanted to say, Todd, it's been really a pleasure to have you on and to hear your perspective. And I wanted to thank you very much for stopping by.
Well, thank you, Tom, for having me, and thanks for the opportunity to let people know a little bit about the tiny little part of the racer world that is track cameras.
All right, man. So that's it. I'd like to thank everyone for stopping by to listen to this week's Boltcast. Coming up, the mayor of Long Beach will be back from his honeymoon and will be getting back into business. The monthly development update is coming, so there will be much to discuss. In the meantime, thanks for watching and take care.